what's happening in the fascia is the collagen component, those building blocks that give us our structure, it starts to migrate to areas of need. So for example, if I'm sitting in front of a computer for decades with a collapse in my core, the collagen over time has migrated to stop me from falling over and landing on my face, basically. It's creating false walls and false floors. That collagen, as it migrates, it will grip and adhere to everything in its pathway, including bone, with a force of up to 2,000 pounds per square inch. So this is really like an important thing to understand, and the intensity of the power of what this magnetic seal is doing inside of our body.
He's a best-selling author, award-winning filmmaker, inspirational speaker, certified nutrition coach, plant-powered athlete, and host of the number one holistic health podcast in the world, Nathan Crane.
You know, one of the most important things I've learned over the years in helping many people get and stay healthy is to help them shift their mindset into thinking of themselves as an athlete, no matter their age, whether they just walk 30 minutes a day in the mornings, for example, or they play sports for fun on the weekends, or they go to the gym a couple days a week. No matter what your activity level, if you think of yourself as an athlete, then you start to naturally take better care of your body, focus more on your nutrition, recovery, sleep, other health protocols that optimize your performance as an athlete, and in turn may help you prevent and heal against chronic diseases and help your body be the healthiest that it can possibly be. So if you want to live a long, healthy, vital life and start thinking of yourself as an athlete, head over to plantpoweredathlete.com and get the latest organic, plant-powered protein, super clean, nutrient-dense, high-quality plant-powered protein to help you live your healthiest, most vital life. And you can use our discount code PANACEA15 for 15% discount off your first order. Again, that's plantpoweredathlete.com. Get some of the plant-powered protein for yourself and start thinking of yourself as an athlete every day and see how it impacts your health for the long term. All right, let's get to the show. Welcome back to the podcast. I am excited today to have my friend Deanna Hansen here with us. Deanna, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Nathan. It's a pleasure to be here. Very excited.
So those who don't know Deanna is a pioneer in the field of fascia decompression for physical and emotional transformation. She has more than 20 years of hands-on clinical experience. She created something called block therapy, which is a fascia release technique to relieve chronic pain and disease and encourage healthy detoxification and reverse the aging process. Some pretty big claims there for sitting on a block for minutes at a time and decompressing fascia, right? So that's what I want to get into this with you is, there's a lot of talk about fascia now, I think, especially in the sports community, even in, the pain community, understanding fascia at a deep level. And I think there's a lot more being understood about fascia today than ever before. But I think still a very tiny percentage of people understand what fascia is, what it does, how it works, right? And then what we can do about it to actually eliminate the pain from our bodies and to live healthy, mobile, pain-free lives, and how it also relates to chronic disease, how it relates to aging, how it relates to even, skin issues and cosmetic issues and all kinds of things, right? Fascia is so fascinating. So you're a true expert and pioneer in this field. I mean, you and I were talking at our retreat a few months back, and you told me even years ago you were going to the first ever like fascia conferences, and even at that point it seemed kind of superficial to what you had been learning about fascia. So maybe we start at like a high level, and then we'll start to get really granular about like what is fascia. And what have you learned about it over the years that you think is cutting edge that maybe a lot of people don't know yet about it?
So it started for me back when I was basically working on my own body to try to understand what was going wrong with myself. So as an athletic therapist trained, which would be like a physiotherapist in the States, but focusing on elite athletes, I was doing the work. I was doing the exercising. I was dieting. I was doing the things that I was trained and led to believe were the steps that would actually make my body healthy. And it was completely going in the different direction than health. The harder that I worked, the 400 sit-ups a day, the, you know, working with weights in the gym, the running, training for half marathons, the Tai Bo, all of that stuff. The more that I worked, the more compressed my body became. I also have a very different understanding now of what is healthy eating compared to back then. So I'm 55 now. So this is like 30 plus years ago. So, you know, the dieting, like the Diet Coke, oh my gosh, I mean, all of that stuff, right? Like, you know, very, very unhealthy in that regard. But it was when I finally started taking yoga, and I had a beautiful yoga instructor, the first class, who every 30 seconds, she would remind us to breathe. And about every time she would remind us to breathe, I recognized I was holding my breath or breathing in a very shallow way. So at the same time as that was happening, I was also undergoing some major changes in my life. And those changes created some severe anxiety attacks. And it was this one anxiety attack in particular that was the seed of everything to come, because in that moment of panic, I actually thought I was going to die. My breath was frozen. So for some reason, I dove my hand into my abdomen, and in that moment connected to pain, but the pain brought me out of my anxiety. So I was back in my body. I felt grounded. I'm like, okay, I'm breathing. I'm alive. But then what was really fascinating, because up until that moment, I had focused on deep tissue work with my clients. And I was very aware of what scar tissue felt like under my fingertips. But because I carried 50 pounds of extra weight and primarily in my belly, I hated that area. So I never touched it. So now I'm diving my hand into this tissue. And what was fascinating in that moment was it felt marbled like scar tissue, even though I hadn't had any injury or surgery specifically in that space. So suddenly all of these understanding started to come together for me, that no wonder when I'm coming home from a 5-mile run, dripping wet with sweat, my belly would still feel cold. So for the first evening, I just was intuitively exploring with my hands in this space for maybe 30, 45 minutes. And what was really amazing was I felt calm. And then the next day I went to work, and I was a little tender from the work, but that tenderness kept me grounded. And I was excited to go back home and dive back into this tissue, this fascia tissue. And even though I didn't even know that that's what it was at the time, I was just moving through my belly. And after the second night of doing that similar work, when I stood up, I felt taller. And when I looked at myself in the mirror, my belly was flatter than it had looked in years. So this became my new approach to understanding my own body. After a couple of weeks, my chronic low back pain was going away. So now I'm flipping my patients onto their backs. I'm doing a very similar process in my own body as I'm doing on my clients. I started seeing incredible results and changes with them. So that was almost 25 years ago now. And that was the beginning of my deeper understanding into the fascia system. So as I continued to work on clients and then eventually attracted therapists that wanted to learn what I was doing, I really started to piece together what was going on. And I remember it was about 2 years in when a woman said, "Man, you need to be teaching this." And I thought, I don't even really know what I'm doing. Like I'm kind of going with the flow. It's all very intuitive. So then I started to really pay attention to what my hands were doing and what my fingers were uncovering. And what was amazing was that, you know, as a therapist, especially for dealing with body work, at least back in my day, you know, massage was stroking. There would be a lot of stroking. There would be a connect, a disconnect. Yet when I was working in my own body, I maintained pressure. And as I was really paying attention to the pattern that my fingers were taking, I recognized I was following the Fibonacci sequence.
Have you heard of PEMF therapy for cancer? Well, this podcast is brought to you by Dr. Pollock, and he wants to share with you the groundbreaking research of pulsed electromagnetic field therapy in the treatment of cancer. Studies show PEMF therapy can help control the cancer process and give safe, non-toxic, and non-invasive symptom management. PEMF therapy may enhance other cancer support and treatments, lower inflammation, and promote tissue healing. Studies show it's possible to improve your general well-being and recuperate from surgery, radiation, and chemo better and more quickly. Embrace a comprehensive approach to cancer treatment with PEMF therapy, a vital tool on your path to prevention, treatment, and recovery. For caring and professional guidance and recommendations from Dr. Pollock, go to drpollock.com/intro to cancer. That's drpawluk.com/intro to cancer. You know, with the cold and flu season here, it's critically important that we enhance and strengthen our immune systems. Yes, would you agree? The problem is, though, that there's so much confusion out there when it comes to what actually works for our bodies and for our health. Well, I'll tell you what I used. I used Maison Beljansky's wellness products. Maison Beljansky's products are backed by science to not only help empower the immune system, but can support detoxification and contribute to our overall health. Coming from Europe, the all-natural Beljansky formulas are now available in the United States and are recommended by top doctors everywhere. A lot of the colleagues I work with, functional medicine practitioners that work with patients with all kinds of diseases, are recommending Maison Beljansky's products to their very own patients. As a special sponsor of this podcast, Maison Beljansky has included a very special discount offer for all of my listeners. You can get 15% off your first order using the promo code Nathan, and you'll always enjoy free shipping when you order four products or more. You can grab your wellness products today at MaisonBeljansky.com. That's MaisonBeljansky, MaisonBeljansky.com, and use code Nathan for 15% off.
So I started diving into more literature about the Fibonacci sequence. And then this really brought to light this whole deeper understanding as to what my fingers were uncovering as information. So now fast forward to, you know, now and, you know, a few years back, I can really understand this beautiful fabric of the fascia. So it's this connector of every single cell in the body that connects every other cell. So like the cell membrane of each cell interconnected through this beautiful system, which communicates all cells in the body. And it also provides both stability and mobility. It's a combination of primarily collagen and elastin. So the collagen gives us the structure. The elastin gives us that opportunity to move freely within our bodies. And when there's balance, this is the key, because when there's balance of these proteins, now every one of our cells in our body is in its correct space. And as long as it's in correct space, there is optimal space within and around the cell for ease of flow of nutrients into the cell, as well as ease of removal of toxins and waste away from the cell. So that's this perfectly aligned body. But in order to have that, we have to understand how to breathe diaphragmatically, how to use our body in a balanced and symmetrical way. And that's just not the reality of where we are as humans, because we're under this constant force of gravity. We're dominant on one side of the body. So over time, what happens with these forces is we wind up and we age in a forward rotational direction. And what's happening in the fascia is the collagen component, those building blocks that give us our structure, it starts to migrate to areas of need. So for example, if I'm sitting in front of a computer for decades with a collapse in my core, the collagen over time has migrated to stop me from falling over and landing on my face, basically. It's creating false walls and false floors. But that collagen, as it migrates, it will grip and adhere to everything in its pathway, including bone, with a force of up to 2,000 pounds per square inch. So this is really like an important thing to understand, and the intensity of the power of what this magnetic seal is doing inside of our body. Because you can say to somebody, you need to stand up straight, and they can likely pull their body into that proper alignment. But as soon as they begin to become unconscious, they're going to get pulled right back into those negative alignments of where that collagen is gripping with that incredible force. So this is really what my world is all about. It's about looking at bodies and understanding where these false walls and floors have migrated and built up, so that we can understand how to release those, because they act like scar tissue, blocking blood and oxygen flow to cells, as well as keeping the system congested and toxic.
So you said a lot I want to unpack, but first I want to go back to the Fibonacci sequence. So when you say that your hands were kind of following this Fibonacci sequence, like you would start as you're kind of deep pressure massaging yourself, right? You would start like a wide, big spiral and then go in like into a smaller, like, is this what you mean? Like if you were kind of doing this naturally?
I was doing it naturally, but what was first really apparent to me was that my hands looked chaotic. And so I'm trying to understand the chaos. and I observe the pattern of water moving or smoke leaving a pipe, if you see smoke leaving a pipe right at the source of the heat, it leaves as a wave, then it starts to spiral, then it turns into chaos. So that's what's happening in the body. And the outer portion of the body where my hands initially would work into, that's the coldest portion. So I was observing that my hands were moving in this chaotic pattern. And then as soon as I would hit an area of density, my hands would intuitively start to spiral. And then after time, then you would start to get that flow. So that was how I understood really how to piece together what my hands were intuitively doing with this notion of the Fibonacci sequence, because our bodies are built from this architecture, as well as how the body ages. It spirals down in chaotic patterns over time. So for us to be able to release that and get to the bone, we need to follow that path of least resistance, which is basically moving backward through time in your tissue so that we can open up those spaces of compression, pump life back into those spaces through teaching proper diaphragmatic breathing, and then own those spaces through understanding how to use your body in a balanced and symmetrical way.
Yeah, it's a complete system that you teach in block therapy. So in terms of Fibonacci, the Fibonacci sequence, when we do block therapy, you know, you're sitting on that block from, you know, you're spending at least 3 minutes. That's one of your principles, right? And so, but you're not typically having us like move in spirals. We might kind of move around a little bit, but does that seem to not matter? Like you don't have to move in spirals to get great results, or would you get better results if you kind of move in a spiral with block therapy?
With the hands, you know, as the therapist working on the body, or even with your hands working on your own tissue, my hands definitely are following those seams of time and undoing them in spiral patterns. What we're doing with the block. So if I just may share, this is what the block looks like. And we don't just sit on it. We most specifically, we're lying on it through all parts of the body. So you get into the position, and then the combination of activating proper diaphragmatic breathing, that in itself is creating motion inside your body. And then what we're doing is we're connecting to pain, because adhesions basically are showing you where, or pain is showing you where the adhesions are. So as you start to dive in, you move in, you allow that sinking to happen, because pressure over time creates a heating. So you begin to sink, and then those pressure fibers kick in, and that changes the pain. And of course, you're in control of how much pain you allow. And we always share your breath as your guide with this. But as we get to that point where you're ready to search for more pain, that's when we have you shear. So we have you twisting on the block, and that's taking you into that movement of moving deeper through the layers. So that shearing, it's helping to release the magnetic seal. And that's the thing, it's a magnetic seal. If you had magnets far enough apart from each other, they have no attraction. Bring them close together, they seal with a force. If I wanted to try and pull my hands apart, if they were two magnets, not gonna happen, but I can shear them apart. So that's why we go in through the block and we shear. So you twist and you turn very slowly. And we're not sliding on the surface. We're deep into the fascia. And then we're just moving like micro movements, but in that shearing capacity. And that's connecting you into that Fibonacci sequence. Even doing this with the hand, this is the Fibonacci sequence. So everything in the body, again, just our movements are based in this patterning of the architecture of everything in nature.
Yeah, that is really fascinating how you can see, you know, from a macrocosm to a microcosm, from, you know, you look at the stars in the universe and the planets and how things work and move and interact, you know, all the way down to the bacteria inside of our guts, right? All the way to the fascia, to the, you know, to the cells themselves. Like it's such a similarity between all living beings at a cellular level, at a organism level, at a planetary level, where, you know, it's all connected, and you can see all of these natural Fibonacci sequence spirals in every aspect of nature, even inside ourselves. And even as you've discovered in helping to release fascia by kind of moving in these ways, which is super fascinating. It's really incredible.
Well, I've even read, and to me, this is just wild. I've read that the amount of space between the planets equals the amount of space between the matter in the body, which is just so hard to comprehend, because when we're looking outward, we think of this vast space, and here we've got this physical body that we can palpate that feels material, and it is, but it's mostly made up of space, which is just wild.
Right. Technically, they say that our, you know, there's 99% or 99.9% space between atoms in our cells, right? So we're like technically 99% ether or 99.9%, you know, space between the actual matter, which is pretty incredible if you think about it. But then you look at energy and how energy works, and then energy medicine and how that works, and how, you know, a thought here can be received anywhere in the universe in that moment, because everything's connected through this timeless web of energy throughout the entire universe. It's like, okay, this is really deep stuff. And you know, the power of the mind with the power of the breath and the power of the physical, we can actually start to do something to reclaim our body's natural, you know, energetic health and vitality, which is what you've combined together with block therapy, right? It's the diaphragmatic breathing, it's the deep breathing, breathing oxygen into the cells. What you say in your program, what I've heard you say in your classes is, you know, those cells of the fascia that are kind of locked up, like they're not getting as much oxygen or enough oxygen to really help them thrive, right? And so loosening them up, basically, you know, the heat, the compression, and then helping to loosen and release the adhesions to the bone, as you say, 2,000 pounds per square inch adhered to the bone, releasing that and then breathing in the oxygen into it, like breathes life back into it so that your fascia can get back into alignment and harmony. Is that right?
Absolutely. And that's really the whole goal. It's to put that space back into the body, because again, over time with gravity constantly pulling us down, if we're not conscious of how to use our body properly, we let gravity win. Where if we understand every action has an equal and opposite reaction, the exhalation phase of the diaphragm is when the diaphragm is lifting against gravity. So it's the counterforce to gravity. Yet very few people are really connected to that full exhalation. Another thing that's really important about that full exhale, and I generally teach people, like, exhale for a count of six, inhale for a count of four, live in the exhale, because that increases the carbon monoxide in the body. And that's important. Carbon dioxide, sorry, not monoxide, the carbon dioxide. Yeah. And that's important because that is the currency for the oxygen to release from the hemoglobin to get into the cell. So if we're doing breath work and we think we're doing it properly by like pulling in a whole big in breath, but we don't really focus on that exhale, we can increase the oxygen potential in the blood, but if it doesn't jump from the hemoglobin into the cell, it's not getting where it needs to go, because we want all of our cells properly fed. That ATP activation, it requires oxygen. And so most people are very depleted in oxygen. And, you know, I'm making generalizations based on what makes sense to me, but they say we use 10% of our brain. I believe we are only using 10% of our potential for breath.
So yeah, 10% of the brain thing is interesting, because the more I've looked into that, it's like they say, oh, actually we use 100% of our brain, just never at the same time, right? Like we use different parts of the brain at all different times, depending on what we're doing. And then, you know, I used to interpret that when I used to heard that years ago, it was like, oh, there's 90% of my brain I'm never using, but I don't think that's totally accurate now. Neuroscientists are like, no, you use every part of your brain. It's just different times. But many of us are not using the full potential of our brain either, right? Because of stress, chronic stress, overload, you know, pain, all different kinds of things that, you know, trauma, emotional, you know, whether we're depressed or anxious, there are parts of our brain that we're not tapping into very often. Certainly if you're not like doing creative things or creatively thinking, or, you know, as an athlete, you understand getting into the zone, right? Getting into the present moment or into deep meditation activates different parts of the brain. I would imagine that if we, you know, hooked up some electrodes and looked at the brain when you're doing block therapy, you're definitely activating a lot of different parts of the brain with the deep breathing, with the activation of the pain, with the release of the, you know, but at the same time, that pain can lead you to feeling good, right? You're going to release neurochemicals that also, it's like, can lead to a good pain feeling. Like when you've had a deep massage, like, oh, that hurts, but it feels so good. You know, I definitely get that with block therapy at times. So, and then there are other times where it's like, oh, that's just so painful. I just have to breathe as deep as I can to breathe through it as deep as I can and try to relax. Yeah, I've been experimenting with it and I think it's super fascinating. But pain. So I want,
gut brain, if we can just sort of just chat a little bit more about that brain piece too, because when our diaphragm is functioning to its full capacity, it was in Stephen Cope's book, Yoga and the True Self, where I first read and he shared that we can feed the body up to 600% more oxygen breathing diaphragmatically.
Let's talk about Helin 951. I first learned about this revolutionary product while attending a conference on natural cancer treatments. I then later interviewed Jim at Helin Products, and his cancer healing journey with this product truly inspired me. Helin 951 stands out for its profound effects on gut health, inflammation, cellular health, and immune system support. Unlike typical supplements, Helin 951 offers scientifically backed, tangible benefits and an over 30-year track record. Many of my listeners worldwide use Helin 951 not only as part of their cancer recovery, but also for general health and athletic performance. I use it myself as well. I really encourage you to head over to helin951.com/crane for exclusive deals and free shipping when you use code CRANE. If you're facing serious health challenges, call Helin Products and mention my name. Their team with over 3 decades of expertise is incredibly supportive. Don't wait. Experience the Helin difference today. That's helin951.com/crane. Imagine unlocking the power of your immune system with the turn of a key. That's exactly what Better Way Health's beta-glucan offers, a clinically proven cheat code for immune support now available at a special discount. This unique formula combines the synergistic effects of beta-glucan with vitamin C, resveratrol, and selenium, boosting immune function, energy, mood, and overall performance. It's 8 times more potent than its top competitors. It's vegan, non-GMO, and gluten-free. And our friends at Better Way Health are saying, don't miss this opportunity to shield your health with a product backed by rigorous research and literally thousands of studies. Elevate your wellness journey with Better Way Health's beta-glucan and experience the difference in days, not weeks. Secure your supply today and feel the invincible shield up around your health. Just like countless satisfied customers worldwide, I actually take this beta-glucan myself and I highly recommend it. You can visit nathancrane.com/beta-glucan. That's BETAGLUCAN. nathancrane.com/beta-glucan for a special discount today.
One of my good friends and integrative cancer doctors, Michael Carlfelt, owns the Carlfelt Center in Meridian, Idaho. And I'm really grateful that their team has sponsored this episode. Dr. Carlfelt is a globally renowned naturopathic doctor in integrative oncology, and his center pioneers cutting-edge alternative therapies to combat cancer. They offer cutting-edge therapies, including high-dose IVs, ozone therapy, curcumin, mistletoe, photodynamic therapy, and many others within their 17,000-square-foot advanced medical and wellness treatment facility. With decades of expertise, they offer comprehensive root-cause medicine tailored to support your healing journey. You can begin your transformative experience with a complimentary 15-minute discovery call. You can call them at 208-338-8902 or visit their website at thecarlfeltcenter.com. Again, that's 208-338-8902 or go to the website thecarlfeltcenter.com.
So if we think about...
Explain diaphragmatic breathing for people who don't know, please.
Okay, so I'm just going to bring my camera down a little bit here. So right here is my diaphragm. It's the foundation of the rib cage, and it's a plate of muscle. When we inhale, this muscle plate moves down. When we exhale, it lifts. And when working properly, it's providing a pump, a continual mechanical massage. So right on top of this, we've got our heart and lungs. Right below it, we have the abdominal organs. Now, if I'm not a diaphragmatic breather, and if you're not conscious of it, you're not. You're breathing through the muscles of the upper chest more. So this foundation becomes weak. And then the rib cage, the collapse of everything above, starts falling into the body. So pain, fear, and stress cause you to reactively hold the breath. And I mean, essentially, this world is pretty stressful 24/7. So most people are living in this upper chest rapid breathing. So the challenge with that is that the base of the lungs is where the majority of the oxygen receptor sites called alveoli reside. So if we're like, we're breathing air maybe a third of the way, halfway down into the lungs. When we breathe diaphragmatically, now we're pulling the air deeply into the lungs. So when people hear that, sometimes they'll say, well, I'm not pulling in six times the air. You're not. You're directing the air to where that bed of abundance of oxygen receptor sites are so that we can absorb more. And also exhale fully and completely, we are removing the toxins most effectively from the body. In fact, they've done a study sharing that 84% of weight loss comes through proper exhalation. So that's an important piece to understand as well, because if we're not exhaling fully, then we're keeping a whole buildup of the past inside the body that's becoming a weight on the fascia, kind of like a fishnet. If you have a fishnet in a clean, fast flowing stream, you pull it up after a month, it might have a couple leaves stuck on it. But if it's sitting in a bog where it's full of algae and there's very little flow, you pull it up after a month, it's probably black and sticky and gluey. And that's essentially like what our fascia has become, because we're living in a very toxic world. So to be able to understand how to keep that system clean through proper exhalation is the key. And then when we do that, that changes the entire alignment, because if I'm not breathing properly and my rib cage is collapsing into my core, now my head is getting yanked forward. Now the carotid arteries, my thyroid, my major lymphatic drainage sites are blocked. So now I'm not getting that oxygen to my brain, my eyes, my hair, my skin. So yes, I agree that we do use different parts of the brain at different times, but just like a shoulder range of motion, if I'm only using my shoulder this much, and I try to go into full range of motion, I may not be able to, because I haven't used the full extent of all the cells that I have the potential to activate through that proper breath.
Yeah. And we'll put a link below for people to go check out block therapy, because you know, you've designed these blocks to be very specifically to be able to use for the body in very specific ways, with programs that guide people through it. It's a really fantastic program. Like I said, I've been using it here at the house, and it's incredible. So we'll put a link below for people who want to go check that out, you know, after this interview. But I want to ask you about like chronic disease specifically. How is fascia related to chronic disease, you know, the chronic disease epidemic that we're experiencing today?
And it would be directly related. And again, it really comes back to that understanding of proper breathing, because especially if we've had, you know, injuries when we were children and it affected our overall postural alignment, now we have scarring. Let's say you had a sprained ankle that was really bad when you were 10 years old. And the way that we have been trained to heal, icing, elevating, compression, basically what we're doing is we're slowing down or stopping the body's natural response at rebuilding. So when we have an injury, the body directs blood flow to go and rebuild that damaged tissue. And what we want to do is we want to support that inflammation as opposed to icing it and stopping it for the first 48 to 72 hours, which is when the body needs it the most. It's like, you know, you have a baby and you put it in the corner for 3 days before you give the baby any love. Like, we want to give those cells that were just damaged most of our time and attention and our love. And so to ice it, what's happening is we have a gap in the system. Second law of thermodynamics is nature abhors a gradient, which means when there's a gap in the system, nature's going to fill it in. The body's designed to fill that in and rebuild through the inflammation, but we need to add energy. We need to add heat and understanding through proper breath to be able to actually rebuild that. Think of baking a cake. You put in flour, eggs, oil, sugar, you mix it up, you have batter. If you put batter in the freezer, you have frozen batter. If you put batter in the oven, you bake cake. So we need to add energy to the equation. What happens when we don't? The tissue doesn't get rebuilt. All of the collagen from the surrounding tissue dumps in and creates scar tissue. And scar tissue doesn't have the elastin component. It doesn't have that elastability. So now it becomes a barricade to blood and oxygen flow to everything on the other side. It's also going to impede natural normal movements, because let's say you had that sprained ankle and it healed with scar tissue, you don't have that same opportunity for full mobility. And so over time, and it's unconscious, we naturally start to shift how we walk. We might walk with more of a foot externally rotated, which is going to create a patterning up the chain that's going to keep pulling us down into these negative alignments. So that's the beginnings of creating a chronically diseased body, because now we have cells not properly fed and cleaned, and those areas of toxicity build up, build up, build up. Now we attract other things, bacteria, viruses, fungi, to overtake the body. They create waste. And now we have a body that isn't regulated properly. So if other things can take over our frequency, then we are in a state of disease, whatever that would look like.
Yeah. Plus, you know, going back to the breath, for example, because you guide people through the breath in the classes, you know, and really activating that deep breathing, right? You're activating a parasympathetic response. And so you're upregulating the immune system, which, you know, the immune system is essential for everything from cancer to viruses, to bacterial infections, you name it, right? It also activates a rest and digest and a repair. So repairing of damaged tissues and so forth. So, you know, having a daily practice where we're going deep into that deep diaphragmatic breathing can be so beneficial in so many ways. But I thought of something, as you said, most people are kind of shallow breathing or chest breathing. Even, it might not even be intense, but right? Like never really consciously getting into that deep belly breathing throughout the day. That's very similar to, let's say I'm doing a high intensity workout and I get to a point where I can't do belly breathing. I can only, like, my heart rate's so high, like I'm trying to get breath to my deeper lungs, but it's very difficult, right? Like that's a sympathetic response. That is basically fight or flight, right? My body's like, heart rate's elevated. You're pushing yourself so hard. There's a lot of benefits from that, doing it short term intentionally for a few minutes at a time, right? But you're not, like, I'm just making this connection right now. If you're breathing shallow throughout your entire day, it's like the same thing of being in that high intensity sympathetic state all the time, because you're never really getting to that deep belly breathing, bringing that oxygen deep into those receptors and then calming the system down into a parasympathetic response, right? Does that make sense? Would you say Absolutely. That's pretty accurate?
Yeah. And also if that is the nature of the individual to breathe that way all the time. Now, again, we have, like, we want to look back at the mechanical aspects of the breath and what it does. So when that diaphragm is focused and working, it's strong. So it is a floor to support the rib cage and all the weight of everything above. If this is my normal breath, now that diaphragm is weak. So the weight of everything above, we come crashing down into that core space. So then what we're doing to the abdominal organs, now if I'm right-handed, likely I'm going to be crashing the weight of everything into my stomach and blocking my aorta. So here's this major tube leaving the heart to feed all the cells in the body, and now it's getting twisted and squished. Or perhaps I'm falling over to the right more and I'm compressing my liver, and maybe I have fatty liver disease, or maybe my posture is pulled straight forward and down based on what is my activity all day long. And now I'm blocking my pancreas. So maybe I have issues with metabolic issues or blood sugar issues. So, and whenever I've come forward, now the kidneys and the adrenal glands are getting pushed to the back of the body. So they're not really getting any energy. So then we're in that sympathetic state. Sometimes people are in that 100% of the day when we should be in parasympathetic 80% of the day in order to be able to push the body, but then heal. So we keep going through this, like, cycling of, okay, I've worked my body through the day and I'm going to go into that beautiful rest at night and I'm going to sleep nice and deeply and I'm going to regenerate and heal. So I wake up the next day and I'm nice and fresh and ready to go. But most people don't live in that state.
Yeah, there's something that once you know it and see it, you can never forget it. And you can also correct it in yourself. And this is something that you first brought to my attention. And since you have, it's helped me a lot. And I see it all the time now of, like, our patterns as we age, like you said, of just either habit or from injuries or from pain or whatever, where, like, I think you call one of the legs the flat tire, right? That kind of moves along, like the foot that moves along. And the other one is the, what do you call it?
Anchor.
The anchor. So you'll see that you have an anchor and a flat tire, right? And my flat tire is my right foot. Like, and so my right foot always wants to point out a little further outwards compared to my left foot, which is more straight, right? And so my left foot would be, my left leg is like my anchor and my right leg is my flat tire. And so I notice it all the time now, and I'm constantly trying to correct it. When I walk up to the sink to wash the dishes or get a glass of water, I'm leaned into my left hip, my right foot's over like this, and I'm leaning over getting water. It's like, why do I do that? Like, I could just stand there straight, perfectly aligned, good posture and get the water, but I don't. I lean over like this and I'm getting water. It's just like those habits we create over years and years. So I'm constantly catching myself and correcting it, because you talk a lot about this in your program. So it's like, it's helping me every day. But then I notice it like extremely in certain people where, like, you know, one shoulder's lower than the other and they're kind of walking like this and one hip's really dragging. Like, you can really see extreme versions of it and you can see more subtle versions of it. But part of what you teach is correcting our line, correcting those things, right? So that by in correcting our posture throughout the day, just that alone, can that help to kind of rebalance our fascia and rebalance our organs and rebalance our health to eliminate the pain and the adhesions? Or do you have to absolutely do the fascia work as well and the deep breathing as well? Do they work separately? I know they work synergistically. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, it's what we do all the time that adds up to create the situation that we're in now. And I love that you just said that, because every morning when I'm not thinking, my right hand is under that water tap, and then I've got my left foot out and I'm like, nope. So I switch it up and I change it. And rather than just going into perfection, I always tell people, let's try to do the opposite. So if you always sit with one leg crossed over, sit with the other leg crossed over, because if you sit cross-legged over time, over decades, now you've created a pelvic alignment that's going to be based on that.
So, and then you're going to have, and then you might have back pain, right? Or hip pain, or you're going to have some kind of pain because the fascia's, you know, adhered, it's changed, and now it's pulling somewhere. So that pulling is like pulling on the nerves and causing pain, right?
Yes. Or you might have endometriosis, or you might have issues with erectile dysfunction, or you might have an ovary that, you know, ends up getting a cyst on it or something, because we're getting all of this congestion. So now we don't have that blood flow to feed, and we also don't have that ability to clean. So it goes really deep inside as well. It's not just from a perspective of pain, but how do we keep our organs clean and functioning with ease? So, you know, I teach people also, like, if you always grab your glass with the right hand to drink your water, today, just grab it with the left hand. Open the fridge with just the opposite hand. Vacuum with the opposite side of the body. These are things that are really, really impactful. And at first, it's really awkward. I remember the first time I tried vacuuming with my left hand, and I'm like, and I had my opposite leg forward, and then I had to go back to the right side to see what I naturally do. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's like one side has to teach the other almost. But then when you get into that pattern, then you get to the point where it's like, wow, I can do this with ease either way. And for athletes, if they train the opposite side, it's amazing how quickly they will improve on their dominant side. But most people want to just overtrain that dominant side. That bringing that balance back into the body not only balances the physical body, but also the brain.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, there's studies I've seen where people who've been, let's say, go through surgery, right? Like, let's say they broke their arm or something happened and they're in a cast for like 3 months or 6 weeks or whatever, but they train the opposite arm, the opposite side of the body. That, instead of completely, you know, weakening that left side, it actually maintains around a similar strength as the right side, sometimes just as strong, or very, very, like, doesn't get, you know, it keeps up with it. It's like, for whatever reason, the brain, you know, as you're training the right side, is trying to help keep the other side in balance too.
Yeah, it's called reciprocal innervation. When you work the one side and you get that balance on the opposite side of the body.
Reciprocal what? What'd you call it?
Innervation.
Innervation.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I want to show an image here for people who haven't seen this before. I'm trying to find a better one, but this is, I think this is pretty good, right? This shows like some of the fascia patterns. I think there's images, I'm sure you've seen these before. Is this pretty accurate? Like, you can see how all the fascia is, this is just some of the fascia, obviously there's a lot more, but how it's all connected. So, like, you know, fascia that runs down your toes, and you talk a lot about this in your block therapy programs, you know, if that's adhered and kind of, you know, stuck, it's going to be pulling on the fascias connected to your hips, your ribs, your back, your neck, right? You can see how it's all connected, and you have these patterns of fascia that run throughout the body. This image isn't very clear, but those who are watching can see, like, there's so many fascia patterns that are throughout the whole body, right?
Yeah. And those are, like, there's different layers to fascia as well. I did a discussion with Gil Headley, who back in 2007, I watched his fuzz speech, which was fascinating, because as I'm teaching therapists my work, He really gave a visual understanding to the body and what we were feeling with our fingertips, and the fuzz being the adhesions. So scar tissue is created from injury surgery. Adhesions are created from incorrect alignment over time. And then what he started to share with was that the deeper he has gone in his uncovering of the fascia, he recognizes that there's another layer of fascia called the perifascia. And that's the stuff that we deal with in block therapy for fascia decompression, and the fact that it gets chaotic. So as soon as he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, we're speaking the same language now. It was so lovely to see, because between each of the cells, there's a patterning of migration downward over time following the Fibonacci sequence. We don't just collapse in a linear direction. And those photos are showing more of this outer expression of fascia, as opposed to that understanding that it's literally the fabric between every single cell in the body. So when I compress, because we move in rotation, it's not just a collapse and a building block. It's a spiraling and it's an intertangling of cells and tissue. Kind of like if I'm in a convertible and I've got my hair down like this, and I've got the wind blowing through my hair, I might get back and I might have fibers of my hair tied and locked over here, and I've got chaos. So hair's a really good way to actually understand it, especially when it's straight, because each thread basically has, you know, its insertion and then it hangs as it does. But when it gets all knotted and twisted, try getting a brush through that. That's what our fascia kind of becomes with the entangling over time, because the body is constantly counterbalancing the forces to keep us upright. So I sprain my ankle. Let's say I'm right-handed and that's my dominant side, but I sprain my ankle. Now I'm having to shift my entire weight. If I'm on crutches for 3 weeks, what has that done to my whole posture? And then I start getting that mobility back in that ankle, but I'm coming from a very different alignment now, because 3 days of immobilization, we atrophy 60%. And that's pretty amazing to even consider, that 3 days of immobilization, like people are in casts for 4 to 6 weeks. If not longer sometimes, if they're really, really crazy fractures. So what does that do to the body and the compensations? I remember one day I was on a trip and I was wearing new flip-flops and I ended up with a blister. So for about, I don't know, a mile, I'm walking with this limp because the blister was painful. The next day I woke up and my whole body hurt just from that one bit of compensations. So it's truly fascinating. And most people aren't that connected to their body every moment to understand what's even going on. And so by the time we sort of tap in and say, okay, I've got all these different pains, all these different issues, I'm riddled with areas of my body that I don't like. Maybe I have varicose veins or cellulite, or I'm struggling to manage my size and shape. It all comes down to understanding this fabric and how to keep the cells properly aligned.
You were showing me, maybe I can pull it up here. You were showing us a few months back some of your recent client case studies. And I remember, I think it was this gentleman. Walter? Yeah. Is this one you're showing? Yeah, like how, you know, he was doing what, block therapy for how long? A few months or something?
He had been doing it very... He learned about it 9 years ago, but it wasn't until about a year ago that he kind of really dove in. And then it was last October when he saw I had a 30-day upper body challenge, and he didn't take the challenge. It was about 2 months later and we had shared the winner, and he's like, I'm going to do that. So after he did my 30-day upper body challenge, he posted these photos in my community group.
Well, he looks younger to me in the after. He looks like he's also, I think was he bulking up too? He was like lifting and stuff too. Did he add some weight? His face looks more rounded and more like even, whereas before on the other one, it looks like he's kind of drooped to one side. Can you explain the bigger differences here?
Yeah, absolutely. So, ultimately, again, the goal here is that we keep everything where it's supposed to be positioned, but as we age, and he's 73 in these photos, he actually shares the same birthday as me, July 13th. But anyway, so as we age and we start compressing, we start becoming more narrow and then wider front to back. So we want to have the broadest shoulders we can have. But as we start collapsing, the shoulders start rolling in, the hips start rolling in, but then we bulk up in the front and the back. So people tend to get a bigger belly as they get older, or they'll get a double chin. It's not actually a double chin, it's a displaced tongue. So what we're seeing here, you can see in the left side, how that left side of his face is really angling down. So that will be consistent with what we're going to be seeing through the other platforms in his body, because everything starts at the feet. There's an expression, death starts in the feet. And if we don't understand how to realign the feet, you can do all the work to try to make yourself look younger that you want, but then the anchors are going to keep pulling you down into that alignment, which is going to continue to pull your structure out of alignment. And gravity is always going to win because it's relentless. It's never going to stop. So if you're not supporting proper alignment and proper foundation, then we start to get a head that looks narrower, longer. We start to see asymmetries. One eye is going to drop down. And then even noticing like the hoods, like one of the, I have an esthetician's program. And what's fascinating is like a lot of women and men both, but women seem to be more focused on the anti-aging piece. We'll get like one eye where there's like a heaviness of that top lid. So if you think that like looking at his before picture here, he's right eye dominant. So that right eye is going to be moving more. That left eye is starting to hang and droop. But because like a shoulder, if you're only using part of your range of motion in your shoulder, you're going to atrophy in the areas that you don't use it. So that eye area up top, if we're not pulling the eye into the extremities of the ranges that we can actually look, we're going to get atrophy and then we're going to get a hanging. So then, you know, a lot of people will go to the esthetician and say, oh, can you like help me lift my eyelid? Well, it's not about lifting the eyelid. It's about pumping life back into these muscles that have atrophied so that there's a lift naturally, because you're using, it's like, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it kind of thing. And gravity's going to, if you don't use it.
Okay. So he wasn't that his face looking a little more thicker here, which is what you're saying is actually, and I have to say on the left here, when his face is thinner, he's got a lot more lines, you know, it's his eyes drooping. He looks like he's 73. But yeah. on the side here, where his face actually, you know, thickened up a little bit, and his eyes more aligned, and he looks like he's 63. So I actually thought, I was kind of assuming, like, because I think I saw a picture of him lifting weights or something, right? I was like, oh, maybe he was bulking up. But you're saying, no, he didn't add any weight. This is just from block therapy, actually getting him back to a healthy, more normal looking face, which makes him look like 10 years younger for sure. It looks like, actually, the more I look at it, it looks like a different person. It's crazy.
I know. You should see him now. He continued. And then we actually flew him to Winnipeg a month ago. And I actually did fluid isometrics on him for 5 days. And he continues. And he just sent me a follow-up photo. And he looks a boatload younger than that photo now. And like, again,
Do you have that? Can you show that real quick? Do you have it?
I can...
So a lot of people, let me stop sharing my screen. Okay, go ahead.
What do we got here? Can we see that?
Oh yeah.
I do have in those before pictures, I do have a picture of his body, where that before one, you can really see the sagging asymmetry of the pecs. And now to see this beautiful lift here. Like it's wild. He actually, I did an extension series for my membership and I filmed with him as my subject when he was here, which was really, really fun. He's quite an active member in my community.
So just reading through a lot of these case studies, like on your website, I see things like, you know, help my sciatica, nerve damage, inflammation, had, you know, canceled surgery, what are some of the top results that you see people getting when they do block therapy?
It's such a great wide question because it really is anything and everything. I mean, chronic pain. So because this is a therapy first, exercise and meditation, pain is something people are always drawn to. So, you know, back pain, the thing that makes this work is because there's cause sites to the pain sites. So if you have back pain and you go to a therapist, just like I was trained, I'm going to work on your back, but that's going to only address that pain site. The cause sites to the body are the limbs. The limbs are the puppet masters of the core. I deal with a lot of scoliosis. We have a lot of wonderful results from scoliosis because it's understanding that the limbs, if I have my flat tire, that one leg pulling away from the body, the other leg anchoring, now you've got your arms that are going to be following suit as well. And that's going to create this twisting in the core, creating the compression. So scoliosis and pain are huge. Arthritis is huge. Managing size and shape. If I'm held in my negative forward alignment, now I've got the collapse of my rib cage into my abdominal cavity. tissue's going to go somewhere and it's going to go outward. So I can be not changing diet or exercise, but now I'm over 40 and I'm feeling like, oh, I'm getting that spare tire. Well, it's not added fat, it's displaced fascia from compression and ballooning. And then the resultant toxification, because now in the abdominal cavity, if we're not giving that energy to all of the organs and the space, I'm not going to be absorbing nutrients properly. I'm not going to be digesting and eliminating properly. So I'm going to have a backup of waste. That's going to add more bulk. That's going to attract more invaders, and they're going to create waste. So all of the things that we think that we understand about the body, there's a different perspective. And for me in my 20s, when I was doing the work, I was, you know, dieting and exercising like a fiend. I was 50 pounds overweight. And the harder I was working, the thicker I was becoming, which A, adds that whole element of depression, because it's not like I was sitting on the couch not doing anything. I was trying. I was working really hard. And it wasn't until that yoga class when I'm like, holy smokes, I'm not even breathing ever. And then that understanding of the adhesions coming together, which very quickly started to create change. A lot of people do it for the element of the relaxation, anxiety. It was an anxiety attack that led me into this. When the cells aren't getting what they need, they give you information and they're going to share information that feels offensive, because if it felt good, you wouldn't make a change. But from the anxiety perspective, if the cell doesn't have the space to do its job, it's going to give you information. I like using the analogy, if I'm in an elevator and it's just me in the elevator, I can move, I can breathe, I'm fine. If suddenly you're in an elevator crammed with a whole bunch of people and somebody has really strong perfume and somebody's talking really loud and maybe swearing, and now you're trapped. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, get me out of here. And that's the cell that doesn't have the ability to have the space to get properly fed and cleaned. And yet we're asking it to do its job. I'm going to go run a marathon, but yet the cells don't have the energy. So they're giving you feedback, whether it's pain signal, anxiety, whatever the signals are, that's your cell speaking to you saying, I need some help here. You're wanting me to function, but you're not giving me what I need to function, whether it's nutrition, hydration, rest, oxygen, all of it. That's what the cells are doing. Mm-hmm. So raft of everything. And I mean, we're dealing with also the diabetes, the everything. So yeah,
right.
People with hypermobility, that's a question that comes up a lot. Like, you know, if you're going to be doing this work and making your body more fluid and flexible, is that a problem for people with hypermobility? Where there's hypermobility, though, there's hyper restriction. Everything's a balance in the body. And for people with Ehlers-Danlos or hypermobility issues, and we have a number in our community, they're getting amazing benefits. The hyper restriction is in the rib cage. So they're not breathing. So the collagen hasn't been allowed to create balance in the structure and the limbs. That's where they become hyperelastic. So it's all about understanding this equilibrium of the collagen elastin balance and being able to support that so that our body can do what it's supposed to do.
So two questions for people who are brand new to block therapy. Number one, what's the best place for them to start? Like which program, where do they start? And then two, like how often should they do it, and how soon before, you know, they'll likely start seeing or feeling results?
Our starter program is where we direct people to start, which comes with the block, the tool. We also have a sampler program for $9 where we teach you to use a rolled up towel. And that's a lovely place to begin if you want to just give it a test before you decide if this is right for you. That in itself, we have phenomenal testimonials because it's the teaching. It's the getting to the diaphragmatic breath. It's the understanding of fascia decompression. We don't roll. Like, you know, there's a lot of fascia rollers and different tools out there where you're rolling. We don't roll, we sink, because we want to get to those roots at the bone. And so that's a great place to start for $9. And then people generally feel a shift class one, whether you're on the sampler or you're actually using the block, because the first thing we always do is we connect into your rib cage and core, because we want to teach you how to breathe properly. And that's a bit of a journey in and of itself. Some people are so frozen, it can take a bit to get that going. Other people have a decent access to it. And then they just understand that, wow, like I haven't really been focusing properly on that full exhale. Also, because when we collapse in our rib cage, and everybody does, the fascia will hold the rib cage in negative alignment, blocking your ability to have that diaphragm moving up and down in its complete range of motion. So as soon as we release some of that holding pattern, you right away feel like, wow, I've lifted. I feel like I'm taller. Many people after leaving a class say, when I got into my car, I had to adjust my mirror. You feel lighter, you feel calmer. So most people feel it immediately. For those that dive in and they do it daily, that's the best way. And 15 to 30 minutes a day. Most of my classes are 30 minutes because if you can commit to a 30 minute class, you're really going to start to see changes. Now, having said that, everybody's coming at it from a specific place in their own body. So I have a gentleman who has Parkinson's, Gary Sharp. He's been a very vocal person in my community. He started with me almost 4 years ago. He had to start very slow because he had so many chemical meds. His liver was toxic. So if he did too much, he got thrown into a bit of a toxic overload. So he had to pace it very slowly. But now he's a huge advocate for block therapy. And one of the things that was amazing, I have a class in my membership for hair health. So where I teach you how to release the scalp from the skull, because we should have movement. A lot of people, if you try to move the scalp on the skull, it's sticky. If you have hair loss, like all of these things that happen as we get older, we fall out of alignment. And then the grips of fascia will grip onto the scalp, the skull, to prevent you from tipping over. But now that's blocking flow to your hair, but also your brain. And he said when he started doing that class, he noticed the most improvements with his neurological symptoms of Parkinson's.
Yeah, that's incredible. So with the, like, you have a block therapy starter package that comes with the Block Buddy. Does that include the introductory program?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's, what is it, like 20 lessons or something? It's like 2 or 3 weeks, if I remember.
There's 12 block therapy classes, and then there's additional videos. One of them is the work between the toes and the fingers, which we share on YouTube all the time, because even if you don't dive into this work, but you work between your toes, I tell people 3 minutes a day between each toe, and you want to get to the point where you feel the pain, which doesn't take much, while you breathe, that's going to repattern your toes. And you can do it with your fingers this way as well, and repattern what's going on with your hands. Because, so sorry, back to your question. Yes, 12 classes, but then there's a bunch of additional classes instructing on proper postural foundation. So not only do we want to release the fascia, we want to rebuild the body in correct alignment. So rooting, you know, that lower body foundation, we're like a building. If that one foot splang away like that flat tire, now we're pulled and our whole body's affected. So we want to bring balance back in. The diaphragm being a major foundation, the tongue, major foundation. We've heard it's the strongest muscle in the body. It's designed for more than just talking and chewing. It's also designed to support the weight of the head in correct alignment, but people don't practice it for that. If you notice at the roof of the mouth, about a pinky nail distance from your teeth, there's a ridge. The tongue perfectly docks into that ridge, and the surface of the tongue should be supporting the roof of the mouth. When we don't practice proper tongue alignment, the tongue will tend to jot forward in one direction or another. Mine will go forward and to the right, causing a clench of my left side of my jaw. And then that's going to manipulate the shape of the mouth. So they found back in, well, however many years ago, when people were chewing on roots and meat, you know, and we didn't have the conveniences of the world, when people really had to chew, they didn't change the shape of their head like we do in society now. They didn't have cavities in their mouth. They didn't have crooked teeth. They may have worn their teeth down from chewing on this fibrous material, but they had their tongue engaged. Now we drink our vegetables and we cook our food until it's soft. And so we're not getting that same activity. And then most people are also dominant in how they chew, one side rather than the other, where we should be chewing in a balanced way to create balance and symmetry in the head. So all of these things factor into how are we going to be aging. And then, of course, the last one that we talk about all the time is anatomical position of the hands. If you look at a skeleton that's aligned properly, the palms are forward. If you look at anybody walking, their palms are facing behind their body. And as soon as you internally rotate the arms, it pulls that rib cage forward and down, adding more pressure to the diaphragm, causing more of a collapsing in the body. So these are some of the things that we also teach in that starter program.
Yeah, we'll put a link below it so people can go check that out. That's where I'd recommend people start. That's where I started. So I think it's a good place for people to start. And you go really in depth in more on these concepts in each of the videos as you're doing the different, you know, block therapy classes. So I think it's a great place for people to start. And before we kind of wrap up, I have a question about like yoga. So could you get the same results with fascia and helping it to realign and balance throughout the body if you were doing, you know, let's say 5 or 6 yoga classes a week and you did that, you know, forever, for the rest of your life, let's say. Could that do the same thing that block therapy does for the body?
I love yoga. I was studying to be an Iyengar yoga teacher 20 years ago, but then that got usurped when I started understanding this whole process of block therapy. So the difference is, if we're trying to keep our hamstrings at length, let's say you're doing a forward bend, and that's your yoga posture, you're bending forward and you feel those restrictions. If you keep practicing yoga or stretching of any kind, you will keep the tissue that you have available at its greatest length. What we do with block therapy is we release those adhesions from the bone to add more tissue to lengthen. So it's not the same thing. It's a wonderful complement, however, but block therapy will give you far more. And one of my classes in my membership, we've got a whole bunch of different structured programs and classes in the membership, is address or lengthening the hamstrings. And what I have people do is go into a forward bend as example. Where do you feel that limitation? For some people, it might be in the calf, it might be behind the knee, it might be in the hamstring, it may be in the back. Wherever you feel that limitation, now go and block that spot. And then after you block that area, go back into that forward bend and see how much length and range you've gained. And it's fascinating how fast you change your mobility, your flexibility through the process of finding those adhesions and putting that 3 minutes of time in. And then now, oof, you've got a whole different body to play with.
Interesting. So separate question, actually, what if you have like tendonitis in some area? Like, is, you know, spending time on the blocks on those tendons that are already inflamed, will that actually help them? Will it hurt them? What do you think?
We always teach people your breath is your guide. So as long as you're breathing in a relaxed, controlled way, you're feeding and healing the cells that you're, the tissue that you're working with. If you do anything so much that it takes that relaxed breath away where you're in panic mode, that's your body saying, I don't want this right now. So yes, absolutely. Working where there's an itis or an osis or an inflammation somewhere, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be supporting that inflammation so that it can actually awaken to its potential to rebuild and heal. But we also want to look at what's causing that tendonitis, because if it's in your knee, likely that opposite foot is the driver and that knee is responding to that anchor over in the foot. So we want to understand that alignment piece so that we can address the acuteness of, or the chronicness of whatever we're dealing with, but also looking at why it's there and then getting to the root of the problem.
So just doing the like full body classes, for example, like, well, you do like one day, maybe his arms, one day's legs, one day, right? I know you always start with the core as well. Like, and you just follow that kind of on and on and on, like the 12 day program, and kind of repeat it or do other just variations, right? Going on, like, will that just kind of put everything, help everything get into balance? You don't have to think about it like, well, I've got these issues with my arms or my knees or my legs or whatever, so I should focus on my legs more, right? That's probably not the best approach. You should be focusing on the full body, you know, different areas each day, right?
Yeah, because even the way that your head is structured, like this being, again, one of the major frozen areas. So the diaphragm is the furnace. So your feet, your hands, and the top of your head, they're the furthest from the furnace. This is where the fascia is going to grip and adhere with the most force. So even what's going on in your scalp is related to what's going on in your feet and your arms and your hands. So the starter program covers the full body in a cycle. And so that's the nice piece, is if all you ever do is that starter program, you've got a program for life, you have it for life. And if you keep cycling through it and also focusing on that alignment piece, then you continue to rebuild your body. You go backward through time in your tissue. Now in my membership, I have other guided programs to dive in and go to sort of that next level. And it's not for everybody. It's not necessary for everybody either. If all you do is that starter program over and over again, you're going to continue to see benefits. Absolutely.
But in your membership, like, what are some of the other specific programs that you have?
I have a 90-day trauma program, where I really tap into the awakening, the parasympathetic nervous system, getting to all of the different parts of the body that are really relevant when we have a freeze moment. Let's say 10 years old, again, like I had some horrendous thing happen, whether physical, whether emotional, pain, fear, and stress cause us to reactively hold the breath. And if we don't release that patterning, like a deer who survives an attack will shake, humans tend to stay in that freeze mode. So if it's during my developmental years, now I'm really affected because now I've got this blocked diaphragm and now I'm growing without this muscle feeding my body properly as I'm developing. And then we get caught in a loop of the PTSD because now your brain is connected to this. And so if this doesn't change, meaning your alignment, your brain is trapped in that space as well. So if I have another moment, I'd love to talk about this just a little bit because it's a really important factor. So of course, the heart is designed to send blood and oxygen to every single one of our cells. And if every cell is properly fed, every cell is communicating in every moment with the brain as to what's happening. And then we make the choices based on that information as how are we going to respond? I touch something hot, my hand moves it away. However, imagine if I didn't have any feeling in my hand and I touch something hot and I can't feel it. Now my hand burns. I don't have that same connection from my cells to my brain to give me that action. So let's say we only have 20% of our cells that are actually properly fed and clean with blood because we have adhesions riddled throughout the entire body. Now I have only 20% of my cells giving my brain information. So there's a gap there. So then and we're also connected to a brain frequency that's connected to past and future. That stressed brain frequency that comes from the upper chest breath, very different brain frequency than which comes from the diaphragmatic breath. So in my brain where it's stressed, now I'm going back into these feedback loops, these memories. And I remember I was in my yoga teacher training and we had to reflect on our own bodies and do these exercises. And I remember I was awakening to this whole thing within myself. I'm walking through a mall. I see a gentleman walking toward me and I'm in a good light mood in that very minute. He looks at me and he scowls. And my gut immediately churns because it reminded me of how my dad would look at me when he was disappointed in me. So I recognize this because I went from feeling really good to suddenly acidic inside myself. And I'm like, what just happened? And then as I'm thinking about it, I thought, wow, I mean, maybe he didn't like how I looked, or maybe as he took that step and happened to catch my eye, he had a pain shot in his knee and that was his response, but I made it about myself and it's not about me. So when you have that moment to reflect, and you have a body that's balanced and aligned and awake, you have the ability to look at that. And for me to say, wow, first of all, who cares? I don't know him. Does it matter? No, but also just to be able to see each moment as a unique moment in time, instead of getting trapped in that old cycle that began from way back when some trauma happened. And then that becomes the lens that you view life from, as opposed to viewing life as this opportunity where every moment is unique and tomorrow's a new day and we can change anything we want tomorrow with new, fresh eyes, especially when you connect to your breath and you move the past out with that full exhale. And then everything starts working differently because now your brain is getting healthier. Now you're sleeping better, you're digesting better, you're healing. And then life has a very different lens.
Yeah. Yeah. A much happier, healthier lens for sure. beautiful. Actually, I had one other question about, have you found in your research, have you found any ties into like ancient cultures using something similar to this? Even if they're just older civilizations, for example, I'm just curious because I always find it's very interesting. I always, as I learn more about so many different health and healing modalities, like so many of them, we can tie back to, you know, whether it was, you know, Ayurvedic medicine or it was, you know, obviously the breath work goes back thousands of years, right? I mean, massage and fascia work goes back thousands of years, but like this form of fascia decompression that you've kind of put together, are there other ties that you've found that go back into kind of ancient civilizations?
No, I'm certain that this wasn't new information though. I feel that I became a portal or a channel to share it, but I think it is from the past, but I have yet to see anything. I was very excited to read James Nestor's breath book, though, because he talks about all of the things.
That's a great book, huh?
Yeah, the nose breathing, the exhale, like all the things that really tie into, and the moving into pain on purpose with intention. You know, he talks about the cold plunge, and it's very painful. I mean, I've done it, and it's not fun. But when you do things with intention on purpose, you become stronger. So what we're doing is we're moving into pain on purpose in our body consciously, and we're not adding pain to your body. We're making you aware of the pain that's deeper than what you're consciously aware of, so you can bring it to the surface and exhale it out, and then move deeper to the older stuff, so you can keep pulling the past up and out. But no, I haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if something shows up. I mean, obviously there's a lot of, like I said, the breath work and the nervous system and all of that, and the, you know, deep massage. But this goes deeper, like you said, even deeper, much deeper than foam rolling. Foam rolling, like as you've explained it, is you're really just working on the superficial layers, the muscles, for example, which can be great for recovery and for getting some blood flow there. But to get to that deeper fascia layers, as you've explained, you have to be there at least 3 minutes, right? I mean, in that position.
Yes. And I actually believe part of the reason is because in the past, like let's say in the 50s, I did a webinar with somebody who shared that, like, compared to the 50s, we have it's probably more now because this was 2 years ago, 144,000 toxins in the world that our bodies are having to deal with compared to the 50s. So and also if you look at the postures back then before technology, the bodies were healthier in general. They were better aligned. They were cleaner.
Now everyone's like this.
Yeah, exactly. So if you put a frequency in like acupuncture or reflexology and it creates a wave, there was more space for that wave to take effect. Where now we're so compressed and congested and dirty, those waves can't travel very easily through the tissue. And that's where I feel that, and maybe that's why this just came at this point, because now there's a need where possibly in the past there wasn't a need for something more directed.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Like I was just in Kenya on a humanitarian effort trip down there to help bring seeds and tools to the, you know, starving people, farmers up in northern Kenya. Yeah, it was a beautiful, I mean, it was a heartbreaking experience, but, you know, seeing so many people literally starving to death. I mean, women that I met that were lucky if they ate 2 meals a month, skin and bones. I mean, crazy. But the 60-year-old men were, you know, sitting on the ground in a knee forward squat position, right? So like there, I mean, the mobility they had because of, they don't have chairs, they don't have desks, they don't have, some of them have phones, some of the younger kids have phones and things, but most of them don't, right? Like their bodies, even though they're suffering from not having food, you could see that their bodies were actually very free. Because they walk all the time, they sit in the squats, which is the way we've been designed to, right? If you look at any indigenous tribe where they sit in squats, you know, like I encourage my kids to do it all the time. Like never lose that. Never lose being able to sit into a deep, deep squat. You know, do that when you're 90 because it will help your body so much. I'm still working on regaining that mobility. I could barely, because I sat in a desk working on my businesses like this for like 10 years, you know, my whole body got all tight and my hips and psoas and everything. And like, I could barely get below parallel in a squat, and it's now I can get deep in a squat, but I'm still working on getting more range. You know, cause things, you don't use it, you lose it for sure, but you can regain it. That's the beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And fashion's a big player. I mean, you know, a stiletto, not a good thing.
Right. Yeah. That's what I tell my wife or my daughter. Like my daughter wants to wear like high heels sometimes. I'm like, yeah, those things are terrible for your feet. Don't do it, you know?
Well, and not only your feet, they offset everything forward. So it's that we should have 60% of our weight on our heels. The average person has more than 80% on the balls of their feet. And then you put your foot in a shoe like that. And if you wear them all the time, that is very much going to impact what goes on as you go through time.
Yeah. So here's a good, I don't have all my photos are on my phone, but I want to just, people are watching to see what I'm talking about. You can see this older gentleman here, and then look at his knees.
Wow.
You know, protruding, amazing. You know, a foot in front of his toes, and he's sitting in a squat, in a natural squat. Most people, you know, over 40 today in our society, look at that and go, oh my God, my knees would explode, right? And yet, you know, these people are 50, 60, and this is no problem. And this is like, this is how we're supposed to be, you know, but but we lose it. And then we do, you know, by losing that mobility, it does contribute to our chronic pain, doesn't it?
Yes, because if we're not aware of alignment, and, you know, for us to be consciously aware of alignment means our muscles are supporting us. When we fall into those spaces, now we're asking the ligaments to support our weight, which is not their job. And then they take the burden of that over time, and we lose the space inside the joints. And then instead of there being nice space with all that wonderful synovial fluid to create lubrication, now we're grinding cartilage, and then we wear, and then we inflame, and then we lose mobility, and so on and so on. So, like, you can see how, you know, one injury from childhood, if not dealt with properly, can create a cascading of events as you go through time, and even bring you into, you know, again, like major autoimmune disorders, because a sprained ankle at the age of 10 impacted how you walk for the rest of your life.
Interesting. Yeah, you just spoke my language. Sprained ankle at the age of 10. I used to sprain my ankle all the time skateboarding, and it's, you know, all the scar tissue in there. Scar tissue. So does this help break up, you know, old scar tissue, decades old scar tissue? Is that, have you seen that?
It helps melt it, because basically those false walls and false floors where the collagen migrates, it's the same thing as scar tissue. Again, whether it's created from an injury or a surgery, I have a number of women who have had C-sections who are blown away by the changes in the lower abdomen after they start blocking, because of course, when you've got this big, huge scar in this major muscle area, suddenly you don't have that control. And then you get a pouch because you don't have that muscular control, because the scar tissue is basically acts like dead tissue. And it's not dead, but it acts like dead tissue. Inelastic, can't do its work. When we get in there, people melt through that, and then they bring life back into that and lift, and then they integrate the cells back into those spaces.
All right. Well, I'm sold. I did the starter program recently, and then I just stopped. And so now I'm sold on, like, you know, all right, do it every day now, get back to it, probably sign up for the monthly membership. And I mean,
I think I might just give it to you.
Well, thank you. I want to commit to it long term. I think just with all the injuries from my past and a lot of things I've had to go through, and, you know, dealing with different issues with the body, like, I'm 100% sold. Like, all right, this is a daily thing I need to do and really commit to it long term. So I'm going to do that now. And I encourage everyone here listening, if you're listening or watching this, go try this for yourself and give it some time, right? Give it a couple months, few months, see what it does for you in your own life. I mean, all the case studies and testimonials you have from so many people healing so many different issues is incredible. And it just makes sense. It just makes perfect sense. So Deanna, thanks for coming on. It was awesome chatting with you. You know, you're such a wealth of knowledge around physiology, around fascia in the body and breath and everything. And it's like, even though I love hearing you speak about it, I still take notes every time you talk. I've listened to you talk a lot about it. And it's like, I'm still taking notes. I'm still learning new things. So it's awesome. I love spending time with you. So thank you.
Oh, thanks, Nathan. And as am I, still learning. And that's the beauty of the community. I keep learning based on the feedback I'm getting and where things are going. So so incredibly grateful that I had this opportunity with you. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Nathan Crane Podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and share this on social media. Then head over to nathancrane.com for your free ebook.
So when we're talking about, you know, what are these underlying causes and conditions of these chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they all have very similar, if not identical, causes. And that's the thing, is when we get to the root cause of these diseases, we can not only prevent these diseases from ever happening, but empower our bodies to heal from them.
In every one of our cells, we have tens and hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are happening every second that are cycling back and forth. It's like sort of a yin and yang.
And, you know, for me, the soul's purpose is evolution. It doesn't care about comfort. It cares about evolution. Mm. And so I think so long as we are following our soul, then we will evolve. And I think what sometimes blocks us from living our purpose, from manifesting that next level of our expression, is we have not evolved.
There is also a time for letting go all the expectations and relax and just breathe and be grateful for what you have achieved.